Hello and welcome to Humans Exhaust Me, a show caused by our world and everything in it. I'm Biz Paul. I'm in the UK. I wasn't, but I am now, and I'm joined by my former housemate and co-host, it's Felicia Jones.
No, this was so fun. So, of course, we thought about doing a show while Paul was here in the US, but we were having fun, so sorry,
y'all. Too much fun.
Yeah.
Do you know, like it crossed my mind about just before I was leaving. And I was like, oh, we didn't actually do anything. But you're right, we were having so much fun.
I mean, we were having fun. I thought about it, but then it's just like, let's just worry about this later. So Paul came to the US. He had a speaking gig in Phoenix that he aced. So cheers to you, Paul.
Thanks.
I rolled through Phoenix, picked Paul up early in the morning. And we took about a 4-hour drive from there to the Grand Canyon. So first, you got to give us your impression of the driving through the U.S. and then your quick impressions of the Grand Canyon.
So I had some criteria, which I gave to you, which was I want to see cactus.
Yes,
saw
you
big
saw
cactuses.
Them.
So that was good. Wanted to see a really straight road where I could just see straight in the distance. Saw a few of those actually on the
yes.
journey, but the one to the Grand Canyon was good. Tumbleweed we saw, but not blowing across.
It wasn't tumbling. Yeah, it wasn't tumbling.
And gas stations aren't like what you see in the movies. They're big. They accept trucks. They have good coffee and food. So it's not really like the ones that you see in the movies.
But yes, the ride was fine. Well, Paul got the experience of driving in the middle of nowhere. So we weren't really in any big cities until we went from the Grand Canyon to Las Vegas. So you got a first. You got to see a big hole in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Very big hole. Although not all the time because it was snowing.
Yes.
Listener. Snowing.
Yes. Went from Phoenix and we were still in the state of Arizona where it was snowing.
Yeah.
Then we took the nice drive from there, about 5 hours, and we rolled into Vegas, which was the first time Paul had been to Vegas. So he didn't get the 20-year-old Vegas experience, but you got a glimpse of what it probably could be like if you were 20 years old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when the fake police ladies tried to arrest us, you know, there the sexy fake police ladies.
Yes, they walk around on the streets.
Yeah.
You met the little escort car guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tap.
Vegas is an experience. So we didn't do any clubbing or anything like that. We like to go to bed, but we got to see enough. And you only scratched a tiny piece of the surface in seeing Vegas. So. You should have hung out with my cousin who was in town. I think you would have had you would have been exhausted on your flight back to the UK.
Do you know, the flight back was absolutely full. They made it clear, this is a really full flight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see, you know, like you said to me that people would look really tired and maybe like dead. I didn't really see that, but it was quite interesting how much people were looking forward to going home.
Vegas does that to you. Anybody who's been to Vegas, if you know, you know, after like 72 hours is too long. 48 hours, you are wanting, like, drop me off at the airport at least 10 hours ahead of time so I can get out of here. So if you did Vegas right, that's how you're feeling. You just want to go home and you want to shower.
Yeah, lots of people went to sleep very quickly on the flight.
Yes.
Very, very quickly. And I was just saying before we came on air, the guy next to me, I always go for an aisle seat because I like to be able to go to the toilet when I want to without having to wake anyone up or climb over people. But obviously that's a risk because the person next to you, if they are somebody that really needs to go a lot, you know, that can be problematic. But the guy next to me, he just put his blanket on, went to sleep, woke up in London. and that was that. What a legend.
Yeah. Well, if that was me, I would have either walked over you. You would have moved. I have to get to that toilet. So, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. We had fun. Paul got to experience RV life. So what was your quick impressions on RV life?
Well, you can have it all. Let me tell you that. for those of you who don't know what an RV is, it's like, in the UK, it's like a massive, massive caravan, massive. But like absolutely massive. Like the sides come out of this thing. The sides come out of this thing, right? You would not fit this on a British road. You would need like an escort, like extra wide vehicle or something like that. But it's got everything: bread makers, soda streams, coffee machines.
Those do not come with RVs. You have to go buy those separately.
Well, okay, but you can use them, and you can store your two televisions, your outdoor carpet.
Oh yeah, we do have two televisions. Yeah,
you do have two televisions. Yeah.
Outdoor carpet.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, I was very, very impressed. Very impressed. Yeah. And I did enjoy myself. And I really appreciate
an espresso machine.
I had a new drink. Well, I had two new drinks that I'd never had before. I had the, what do we call it? Maple, like a espresso with maple syrup in and heavy cream. That's double cream for UK people. Very nice. I need to recreate that. I need to get some cream.
And you had horchata.
Horchata. Oh, my word. Oh, my word.
Okay, wait a minute. I got to set this up. So we were like, hey, Paul, have you had like real Mexican food? And we didn't go to a restaurant. We went to just a fast food place and we got breakfast burritos. And so my husband was like, have you tried horchata? And we explained what horchata was. And Paul was like, that doesn't sound great. You know, it's like rice milk with spices and cinnamon. And he was like, yeah, that doesn't sound good. But being a good person, you know, because sometimes you get those people like, I don't like that. And like, you didn't even try it. Paul got his own horchata, 16 ounce. After the first sip, everyone, Paul was like, this is the best thing I have ever had in my mouth. So you could see his face. He was like, that is delicious. So I was impressed. You fell in love with horchata. Like, it was an intimate moment.
I have already found a recipe. I'm going to try and make it at the weekend.
Okay. Let us know how it works out.
It was delicious. If you ever get a chance to try horchata, then go and have some. Yeah. It was divine.
Divine. Whoo, that is some magical words right there.
It was magical. It was magical. It was like, I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't that.
And that's the only description you need to have. Yeah. So that means everyone, you need to go and drink it. All right. So we have gone through the experiences. The other thing that happened while Paul was here was the State of the Union address by President Biden. Now, they do this every year, and Paul just magically happened to be here during Super Tuesday. So he got to see a little bit of how votes come in, but he got to witness the State of the Union and the Republican rebuttal. So let's first start with the State of the Union, Paul, because we were trying not to watch it. But, you know, since he was a guest, we were like, OK, let's see if Biden makes it through without stumbling over some words. So let's go for it. All right. So what was your impression?
Well, yeah, you're right. It was me that forced you to watch it, really.
Yes.
So thank you for that. You were very adamant that you didn't want to watch it.
And we watched the whole thing. Y'all, I have never watched it. I think like the first time Obama did one, because I'm still a little in amazement that we had a black president. So it was just like, this still ain't real, right? But I haven't really watched a full one other than the beginning, a middle, and then you get the summary on the news. So this is actually probably a long time I've watched a full one. So, it was interesting.
I mean, I'll be honest, like having watched it through, you can just get the TikTok version of it and I'm sure that would be fine.
That's what we do. Yeah.
You just need the highlights, because I was watching it thinking, okay, so this is a really big deal. It's the last State of the Union before the election. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about Biden being senile, and is he going to stumble his words? Is he going to like mix up Ukraine with Uganda or anything like that? And so that's partly what I was watching for, to see whether he would fluff it. And he did have a couple of like trips, I suppose.
He is 81 years old. No, he's up there. He's up there, which, I mean, for somebody that age, he's pretty sharp.
Yeah, I mean, he was very fired up. I mean, I don't know what caused him to be fired up. I mean, you can make draw your own conclusions for that. But obviously, it was a very important speech. The things that I thought about it, firstly, it goes on too long. Fine. Secondly, the whole like entrance and what was going on there was just weird with Marjorie Taylor Greene like in her MAGA outfit. And yeah. People taking like photos like they've never seen the president before, which apparently they don't.
Well, a lot of those people, the House of Representatives, they don't get to, you know, not all of them get to meet with the president or see him on a regular basis. And I think this was the first time we noticed that there were cell phones and taking selfies. So that was a little,
very parliamentary. Interest.
No, I have a feeling this may be new in the last couple of years because I've never seen anything like that before. So it took forever. So you have to stand as the president walks through and you have to keep clapping as he is walking. So you have these people standing and clapping. And then, of course, it was supposed to start at like 7:30, but, you know, he's the president. You can show up whenever you want to.
Do what he likes, yeah.
So all news media is held hostage until he shows up and then he starts talking. So that took about, I feel like it's like 20 minutes for him to finally make it to the podium. Yeah. That was a lot.
and then the way that you see it is that you see him talking and you also see Kamala Harris, the vice president, and Mike Johnson.
Johnson, the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, the Speaker of the House, who we decided looks really good for 52 years of age.
Yeah.
Right? He is drinking virgin's blood or something like that. He's doing something, but he is looking good for 52. Anyway, things that I spotted. You have to have, if you're in the party of the president, you need to have worked out on your legs and quads and your glutes for a few weeks beforehand, because you are standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down.
Everything, every time you say something great or supposedly great, if one person claps, everybody stands and claps.
You have to stand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the speaker, he was like this master of the kind of passive aggressive facial expression. I'm not sure I agree twitch with face. You. Twitch face. But then making sure that he stands up when there's like a bipartisan comment or something that is important.
He really didn't stand up. He only stood up once for John Lewis, which was another member of another representative who passed away. So you can't really be shady for somebody who's dead. And then about either it was just people dying. You had to stand for that. And I think it was mentioning the people who have died between the Hamas and Israel thing. So you can't really be shady when you bring up dead people.
So it was interesting. I actually felt a little bit sorry for the Prime Minister of Sweden who was there. He kind of, I felt like he felt obliged to stand up when the Democrats stood up. Because he was invited by the government to be there. So
you the first lady's box. So you kind of have to go along with it.
Yes, I suppose you do. It's a diplomatic issue if you didn't.
Yes.
So I found that interesting. But what I found more interesting was the rebuttal afterwards, because I was unaware that this even existed. Like, overseas, they do not tell you about this. They just say, the president said this. This was the reaction. Happy days. We move on. Did not know there was a rebuttal.
Yeah, they have been doing that forever. I've never watched it. So this is my first time since we're getting the whole Paul experience. Watching American politics experience. So this is a first for us too. I mean, you hear about it and then you read the little comments. So they chose the youngest Republican, Miss Katie Britt, out of my home state of Alabama, or the state I grew up in. I mean, you're not supposed to have dead silence while on a podcast, but she started off by saying it was an interesting performance by the president. I think she was foreshadowing what we were about to see, because her acting coach got their money's worth out of her, because she went was good, all
I
in.
Thought on the acting. She was great. How she looked, because she was not at a podium giving the rebuttal. She was in her, well, allegedly her kitchen.
She was in her kitchen with spotless counters. So the whole time I'm thinking, like, how much stuff did they shove into the pantries to get those counters that clean? So she was wearing a green blouse, and I kind of noticed later on that seems to be her signature color, green tops. She had on her cubic zirconium cross. She had a cross pendant necklace. And she looked pretty, you know, she had her hair straightened and everything. But she was sitting in a very spotless kitchen, supposedly around the kitchen table. And she did a really good, I'm going to tell you some of the feedback that I read about her. But she put on the performance of her life, because, man, she gave us happy, sad, evil, mad, angry. And she nailed it. I was like, man, that's a range of emotions. And she also did a lot of this while having a smiley face. So that was a little creepy, too. I think when Paul was watching this, he was like, I don't like her. Like, I don't like her.
She frightened me. There was definitely something like silent assassin about her. Like, she would, I think she would poison you. That's how I think she would kill you. She wouldn't do anything aggressive. She would poison you with cookies, home-baked cookies.
She sounds like that. I don't know if this show comes on over in the UK, but it is on either Discovery or something here. But it's a show called Snapped. And it's always about women who just snapped and, like, killed their husbands. And they usually do it with poison or putting somebody in duct tape in a garbage can because they took the remote or something. She does give that vibe. She gives the vibe that she would be on one of these TV shows. So,
I think she is dangerous. I mean, you only have to, like, look at her children's names to realize that she can be serious about
Ridgeway
impacting your life.
Ridgeway and Bennett. Those are the kids' names. Ridgeway and Bennett. I'm not going to throw any hate on those kids, because it is not their fault that it's parents get a little too creative with their kids' names. And just realizing, for all you parents who want to do that, remember, these kids have to live with this. And I don't think I have a very unique name. It's a very unique spelling. And you just live with the fact that people will butcher your name for the rest of your life. Parents, think about that. Just FYI. All right. So the feedback. So Paul and I were having so much fun. So I wasn't on the internet until I think when we got home after dropping you off, then I finally, like, turned it on. Woo. Miss Britt was not having a good time. It seems as though a lot of people said she has basically walked women backwards by 300 years, because she let the Republican Party trot herself out as a trad wife and or a housewife, knowing that this woman is not. She is fairly successful attorney. But in that moment, she became the housewife. And Senator Tommy Tuberville out of Alabama, he said, yeah, she was, we wanted a housewife up there. So it seems as though the Republican Party thinks she's a housewife and not a senator. And it seems as though, I mean, you mentioned this, that she was wearing green. And I guess that is something that is representative from the TV show Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's I don't watch Tale. The show.
Yeah.
So that the was wives. Pretty. And yeah, so and then it seems as though conservatives did not like her performance. I saw some of the live reactions and people were speechless, like didn't have anything to say. But the best one, I think I sent it to you because somebody calls it Fundy Baby. She did Fundy Baby voice. And usually this is attributed to fundamentalist evangelical Christian women, So if you've ever watched these women that have like 20 kids and the people that had the TV show, it's the, you know, I don't mind, you know, picking up my husband's, you know, dirty laundry, because that's what I'm here to do. And Paul, that's what we're going to do. So it's like that baby voice. You're always smiling, even though somebody's probably beating the crap out of you at this moment. So she had evangelical fundy baby voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, Katie.
Do you know what? I mean, it was an interesting watch. But yeah. I'm just going to put this out there that we are way ahead of our time. We are, as a listener, you've probably realized this, or if you're watching on YouTube, you probably realize this, that we are the number one podcast to get ahead of world events, because in the last episode, which is now 2 weeks ago, we were talking about trad wives, right? Yes. Which Katie Britt is obviously one. And way back in January, one of the episodes I was noticed, it was called Kate Conspiracy. And whether it's Katie Britt or Katie Middleton, Princess Wales, there's something about Katie this week that's going on, because I have come back to an absolute storm. Now, I was sort of picking this up whilst I was out there, but my God, what we were talking about in January, you know, multiply it by about 1,000 in terms of where people are right now in this country, all about the Princess of Wales. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, folks, this is about the disappearance of Princess Catherine. If you recall, go and listen to episode 160 something. If you recall, she's not been seen since Christmas Day.
Yeah.
She
had surgery. We were told or something.
She's had surgery and that we wouldn't see her until after Easter, and that they won't be providing a running commentary. On the same day, it was announced the king was going into hospital. Then it was announced that the king's got cancer, which he is still receiving treatment for. There's been this whole kind of like, what is she in for? What surgery? What's something's not quite right? Why can't we see her? This and the other. Big, big crescendo. They obviously decided we need to do something to show her that she's alive.
Proof
so
of life.
So what they decided to do was to produce a picture for Mother's Day, which it was in the UK on Sunday. A picture of Catherine with her three children around her. I saw it. I was like, oh, okay. Good idea. You know, like there she is. They've released a picture. She looks like, you know, she's not straining. She's not like jumping around. She's sat down. She's probably recovering. Oh, no. People are not happy with this picture. Like literally, because of the febrile atmosphere, people are straight in analyzing this picture. Let's look at it. We don't trust it. And lo and behold.
Who does this?
The internet people do, right? They haven't got anything better to do. So they've worked out, they've gone, right, look at Princess Charlotte's cuff.
Skirt. Oh, it's the cuff? I thought it was a skirt too.
Wow. Oh, I can give you the list. There's the cuff, that there's a bit chunk taken out of it. There's Princess Charlotte's knee, which is kind of blurred around one edge. There's a step, which doesn't go in a straight line. It kind of has a jaggedy edge. There's the princess's quarter zip top is misaligned. There's Prince Louis's thumb. There's the fact that she's not wearing her wedding ring and engagement ring. One hand is blurry, one hand is in focus. And this is my favorite. It's not her face. It is a face from the Vogue cover that she was on. Because I saw a TikTok where they took the face.
I mean, that is her face.
It's her face. It's a face from when she had the Vogue photo shoot, right? They superimposed it on and they overlaid it and it was exactly the same. And now when I look at this picture, I'm like, it's so obvious now that it's not that situation. Now, like everyone's going, this is not real. This is not real. And so they're going to have to say something. So what did they do? They tweeted, from Catherine, as you know, as many amateur photographers do, I did play around with a little bit of editing.
We
my
don't
bad.
Do
My bad. everything's rosy.
Well, and she photoshopped. Right? She said she photoshopped herself in. Just to...
Well, she didn't say she photoshopped in. She said some slight amendments. Now, what people are saying is it's a composite photo, basically. It's a composite photo, and people have worked out from the metadata somehow that it was edited twice. I know, edited twice in Photoshop.
Okay, Paul.
Right.
Let's just pause for a second. I gotta ask him.
Yes.
The people of the UK, are you okay? Are you okay? Blink twice if you are not okay in the UK, because we can come and save you. Biden seems to be wanting to help people out these days. We can get you out of there. There are boats, from what I understand, you have in the UK. Just get on the boats and leave.
We've got boats.
Go to Rwanda. It is one of the safest countries in the world. It literally is. Because right now, the people of the UK, I'm talking to you right now, I do not think you are well. I do not think you are well. And we need to probably do some type of group therapy, because goodness gracious. Okay, you can keep going, Paul. I just wanted to send that out there for those of you who are not doing well. Just blink twice, please.
I think we do need an intervention. We need some kind of intervention. And I'm not sure when we're going to get it, because that's obviously up to the government to decide when we get that intervention in the form of an election. But we could really do with it soon.
I mean, I didn't know the picture was this deep. I mean, I saw that people were upset, and I didn't know it was Mother's Day there. So people were upset with the photo. I think it happened while you were here. I don't know. And it was like, okay, there was some editing, not a big deal. So I looked at the photo. I'm like, I don't see anything wrong. And then people like started circling things. I'm like, okay, you guys got way too much time on your hands. I mean, one, she should be, have the, I mean, if she's recovering, maybe she doesn't want to take photos right now. But at the same time, I mean, all of these people are like now like witch hunts for whatever is going on. And then the other thing that's been popping up, or at least what I've seen just a little bit of it, is that there is some woman that supposedly has a baby that looks like William. And so now the mistress has shown up, and it was like, okay. And I was starting to think that our 2023 bingo card is like, maybe we were like a year too early on our bingo card, because goodness gracious. And then, of course, what Prince Harry said, if there is ever any trouble happening with the royals, you can be used as a scapegoat. And who did they bring up? Meghan. So now they are accusing the photographer of editing the birth announcement photo where Meghan is laying down on the ground and Harry is sitting behind her. The accusation is that they added a willow tree in the background. And so the photographer has now posted the original photo and made the, you know, did the research that most of these very expensive journalist photo magazines you have over there, saying that it wasn't even a willow tree. And if they had done like 2 seconds of research, you realize that those trees don't grow in California. So now they've dragged Meghan and Harry into this. Well, actually, it's just Meghan. Harry seems to not be a part of this. And I saw one thing where somebody said Meghan should be standing up for Kate in this time. At this time, I'm like,
that's it.
No.
Yeah, I really don't know where we go from here, because to begin with, and I know I said this when we did the previous show, I was very much like, just, it's none of our business.
No,
just
it's like, not.
You know, let them do their thing. But I have to say, now I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm starting to think that there's something in it. Like, I'm starting to think that this cannot be so much of a shit show and just be completely innocent. I don't know how they pull back from this, because either they're going to have to make her be seen for real pretty quickly. They're going to have to expedite it, because people are just going insane, and it's not good for us. It's not good for us. I think
no, because
like,
you guys can't handle this very well.
We can't handle it, and we need to get away from the topic and focus on things that really matter, like inequality and racism. War and
Ugh.
Russia and stuff
Ugh.
Like this. I know,
boring.
I know, but
boring.
Yeah,
boring.
Maybe, but like I think at the end of the day, I know they are people, and I respect that.
Are they?
Our taxes do go. Well, there might be lizards. Our taxes do go towards their function, and so to a certain extent, they are tied to the public goodwill. And they're going. I just think they're going to need to kind of, if they can. I mean, she might be at death's door for all we know, but they're going to have to do something that like nips this in the bud.
My assumption is that she had a surgery, probably is on medication. Probably some type of steroids or antibiotics that don't make you look great. And so you don't want to take a photo with puff face.
That.
So I don't know what they could have done to avoid this. But it's just interesting that this is such a huge issue of her photo. I mean, it wasn't like she faked being in a different country. She just had, if there was editing, which we know she didn't do, so somebody else did it. It was a photo with her kids for Mother's Day. Like, come on, people. Like, you got to have something else better to do. But I guess if this is, you know, the fate of the British people rides on this photo.
Honestly, we haven't got anything better to do because we are the second most miserable country in the world. After Uzbekistan,
we don't
have anything. It's really bad.
I
noticed
I
literally as soon as I got off the plane. I haven't seen the sun since Las Vegas because it's still gray and it's still raining here.
I mean, you actually saw the sun quite a bit while you were in Arizona, even in the Grand Canyon.
I was confused.
The sun did come out in the Grand Canyon in the end.
It did.
And then definitely had plenty of sun while here in Vegas. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you guys need like a shot of sun. Maybe we should write a letter to the clouds there to say go away for a second. So you
we
guys
could
can
do
be
with
okay.
something. So, you know, we went to the Hoover Dam and we talked about how the Hoover Dam or the Lake Mead is like, you know, massively depleted.
Yeah.
They were literally saying on the news this morning how reservoirs and lakes here are pretty full. Like we can have a really hot summer and it'll be fine.
But you probably won't. Yeah.
We should
sell
you our water. That's what we should do. Like water could be the new oil and we could sell it you.
We're gonna say it here first on this show, people. Water is about to, or it's not about to, it already is a hot commodity and it is going to be an asset, but it's going to be a bigger deal in the next few years because climate change is real, but nobody wants to see that. So just know that water will be the next hot item and somebody's going to keep taking it. Yeah.
We will be the new Middle East with oil, but with water.
Yep.
Oh, I feel so much better about ourselves. What were we worried about the royal family
Are you sure?
I'm gonna hang on to it.
Well, this has been, I will say, for the two Kates. Maybe we should name the show that, the two Kates. It's been not a great week for the Kates here, and I feel like one Kate, we're never gonna hear from her again. Hopefully the other Kate gets better and maybe just send a photo with a newspaper saying, well, nowadays, like you said, with AI and photos, we don't know what's real or what's not. Mm-mm. So she's going to have to go to the mall or something and touch somebody so that is not a body double, is not her sister, is not somebody else driving the car. I don't know. I don't know what you do with all this stuff. It is. The people of the UK, people of the UK, I'm hugging you. And hopefully we can get you out of this misery with this photo and maybe come to Vegas or something. There's a lot of Kates around here.
I think that's a great idea. Well, may I just say thank you once again for hosting me over stateside.
We
had
haven't
an
seen
absolutely
each other.
Brilliant time.
It's been 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, we look really different from 4 years ago.
We do. We haven't seen each other since before we started this podcast. So it was fantastic to do that. And it was
great to
properly meet your husband and your dog.
Paul, if I remember, it was literally the same week.
Yes, it was.
4 years ago. Oh my gosh, I didn't know about that. I just realized that.
Yeah, it was, because I came back and everyone went, oh, COVID.
Yeah.
Let's not go anywhere.
Wow, 4 years exactly. Look at that. We should do it again another 4 years.
Or maybe sooner.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been lovely to catch up in the last few days from when I've seen you, and good to get back on the show vibe as it is.
Yes.
So thanks for listening. And we will see you next time.
See ya.